Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. An Odyssey Station. The Score!
This segment of the show brought to you by Northwestern Football. The Wildcats host Ohio this Saturday. Ryan Field, the place. Buy the tickets, nusports.com.
This segment is brought to you by Advent. If you have snoring, sleep apnea, or nasal breathing problems, go to adventnose.com to schedule your appointment. And this transition is brought to you by Aloha Restoration. Call Aloha for all of your water, fire, and mold needs.
Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tons of fun today. I want to thank Evan Thomas for getting us on and keeping us on Twitch. He's doing a great job. I want to thank everyone here in the Hyundai studios, including the local Hyundai dealers who set us up here. Fantastic to be here. A lot of fun today. And we want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Victory Tuesday.
Yes, it is still Victory Tuesday, and gosh, the news just keeps getting better and better. We want to thank our executive producer. His name is Dustin William Rhodes.
I felt like the Packers were listening to, Eli, you and I, our conversation on Friday about we got to come out and run the ball. I think our conversation was bugged, you know, kind of like the Patriots used to do back in the day.
Oh, the Manning broadcast. That's
that was fun.
It's really good. Yeah. And thanks to ESPN for sharing, whether they wanted to or not. Thanks to Ray Diaz. Ray, it just brings a little bit of a dance to our step seeing you back from vacation.
Got some more text messages coming in here from area code 309. Our buddy David Haw gets a vote. Maybe this is a first ever for always bashing Justin Fields. Well, Nagy, the brain trust, couldn't teach Joe Montana a damn thing. Well, who could?
Bum of the week.
You got a vote.
I got a vote.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, I have.
Congratulations.
I've
you
arrived.
Have officially arrived.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
only.
You.
Yeah. Bum of the week. And what a delight. This is the time in our show and your show where we get to do a little bit of conversating, if you will, with our dear friends Daniel Bernstein and Leila Rahimi. Guys, good morning. God bless. So good to see you.
Good morning.
Hello.
Wonderful. Anybody go to Metallica last night?
No.
No. I tried.
Was that at Wrigley?
Metro.
Oh, Metro.
So kinda.
Yeah, right there.
It was like
there.
A pop-up concert, and the news Boston broke, Street. And it sort of started to percolate. Hey, you know, just run down. And I'm close enough that I could have gone over there and try to get
the money. Yeah.
And then I thought, I don't want to.
Well, I mean,
I thought I was supposed to want to. It felt like I
really?
Should want to. And then I'm like, oh, wow, 500. Like, do I want to be in a room with 500 people in a closed mm-hmm. space?
The better question
no.
is, did you also want to wait in line because it was, I heard, blocks long
oh,
for tickets?
Yeah. Well, no, I just, for there was a passing moment when I thought, oh, wow, this will be awesome. And then it passed. I said, no, it's really not.
If the line was that long, there were a lot of people then that didn't get in because the place isn't that big.
500 tickets, I think.
Okay. So there were probably a lot of people that went home disappointed.
What time
I had
was
friends who went.
Probably had to go to bed.
Yeah.
Doors open at 8:30.
Yeah.
Or no, well, doors I open mean, at 7. The concert started at 8:30. Well, I had friends who went.
Bedroom door opens.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Shortly after that.
At that point, I'm like probably tearing up something because of the socks. You know, I'm just beating something.
Heating up the warm milk.
Yeah. Is that what helps you sleep?
I was really curious. Yeah. Does that work?
Yeah, it does. I think
really?
So. It's been a while since I've used. Yeah. I think it's an old myth to some people, but some people it works. Yeah.
Three milligrams of melatonin and then
that works
for all you need. Yep.
Or 30.
Anything more, really? Like, that's really about all your body's going to process. Anything more than that is it probably doesn't have that much of an effect. Mm. They've said, or doctors have said.
Yeah, I try to get like a bottle a night. And just
red wine is good.
Red wine.
Well, that sure it is.
That would be great.
That's good for anything,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
That cures what ails you regardless.
It's everything but like getting up and doing a morning
exactly.
show.
Exactly. Yeah.
Red wine make me feel so fine. There's not a chance I could drink red wine and go to bed.
So you stayed home and watched the Packers instead, or
Yeah, I watched it was a late hockey practice night, so I had to get him to fifth third late, and then it's living that life now. But listen to some of Kevin Harlan's call of that game and then come back and watch the end of it. It was pretty much over by the time I actually got home. But listening to the dueling press conferences in real time between Tony La Russa and Carlos Rodon and all the complications this is bad.
Bad news today, right?
It's bad.
Accepted that it was really bad. He's hurt.
He's hurt.
He's looking into the dugout. You know,
he's hurt.
Yeah.
His last fastball was 89.
I mentioned that. That was his last strikeout, 89.4 miles per hour.
And once again, I think we need to point out that I don't think that tenuous of a press conference happens if it's not over Zoom. I think if it's in person, I don't think people show their keister as much.
Well, I think that if it were in person, then the White Sox PR would have come out to tell us that they're concerned.
After the fact. They would come out and say, we didn't understand the question. The okay. How about the fact that they had the audacity to say Matt didn't understand the question?
He repeated the question!
He heard it. He said it, and he had heard it before. Like that was preposterous yesterday, and it really was. It was absolutely preposterous. The whole thing's starting to really kind of irk me. And David, I think you nailed the thematic conflict that is coming to a head, not just this week, but coming to a head between this iteration of Matt Nagy after all that we've gone through and this quarterback. Do you have a system? And is your precious system more important than what might be a generational talent that is bigger or different or other than your system?
It can't be. It can't be. And if it is, somebody needs to get to Matt Nagy because it requires an intervention. It just can't be.
It happened last year, but it took weeks.
Well, but last year you didn't have...
Stakes were lower.
Mitch Trubisky's not Justin Fields. They have Justin Fields, and generational talent is something we throw around loosely, but you have a special player, and you have an obligation to do what's best for the organization because you have that special player. And what's best for the organization is not to stay married to this scheme that has gotten you this job, okay? You've got to adjust and adapt and show a flexibility that you so far have not been, it's not been obvious to see.
I do like how we talked about this during transition yesterday. Very question. And it permeated so much that we just got the most lovely of snowballs, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it works out like that.
I was talking to a longtime contact of mine who knows more about football than I ever have and ever will. And what he said was I found very interesting regarding, he said, sure. Andy Dalton can be a master of whatever you claim your system is. But he said, look at the touchdown drive as an example of what has to happen for it to work.
Right.
He said the level of complexity isn't in just all of your motions and all your jets and all your movements and all your calls. If you're going to throw short of the sticks and if the ball's not going to travel in the air, everything has to go right, and it has to keep going right.
Downfield blocking.
And then the moment a ball is jarred loose, or a moment you're behind the chains, or the moment there's a false start, or God forbid a holding penalty, it all blows up. It all blows up. And it's for him to be a master of it, that's great. But why do you want someone to have to master something that is this hard to do?
Or... I mean, when you watch the Chiefs, there's really not a whole lot that you watch that you're in awe of, except for the quarterback is extraordinary, and the skill position players make something out of nothing, and they take short passes and turn them into long gains. You don't have those kind of players with the Bears, or else the offense might look different, and Dalton might be able to be the push button quarterback you need. If you have the skill position players like the Chiefs do, but they don't, and they never have since he has arrived.
And
the tight end position? Did anybody notice the five tight ends on Sunday?
Five.
They got five tight ends, right? They just don't throw to any of them?
And then Nagy takes the blame for that because, once again, after the fact, he acts like he's not in charge. Well, I don't know how that happened. Sometimes it just happens. What?
The play caller's fault.
Yes.
And by the way, we've been watching Pat Mahomes do that since he was in high school. So I don't necessarily know that that's indicative of a system as much as it is that's that dude. Yes, is he more perfected now in the NFL? No question. But innately, that's who he is.
Well, he finds ways to buy time so he gets the ball to receivers at the right time, and then they have open field, whereas that is a gift. It's innate. It's something you can't coach, really. And they don't have Pat Mahomes. But I guess the point is that if you have skill position players that are able to make your well-designed offense look even better and explosive, it's going to fool you into thinking that offense is the reason this is happening. And I think that happened with Matt Nagy to some degree.
I really wonder, as I watch the Bears, if Matt Nagy, I think we talked about this earlier, is the system different for other quarterbacks? Is that why he answered that question that way? Does he understand that it's really not about him and the system and the play calling as much as it is about doing what's best for a young player to get through? You know, there's ways of winning that have nothing to do with winning on offense. And I don't know that the Bears are going to win on offense throughout the course of the season. Well, they haven't scored. That's my point. So how do you win when you don't score?
Well, you know, it's that system.
Well, but, okay.
You play to the strength of the team.
I'm not defending him, but I do think this. I think that when you have a degree of success professionally, and he has, you know, as a head coach, he's 28-20, yep, and he's going into his fourth season. So all that he believes in schematically, the way that he views the world football-wise, right, has worked for him. So he's not going to come off of that. So he doesn't look at it like, you know, what's wrong with me? It's like, what's wrong with you? How come you don't see it my way? How come you can't see how I'm going to make Justin Fields better because I made other guys in my career better, and that's why I'm here?
Well, I found it very telling, to your point, Mully. I found it telling when Biggs asked the question and he said, well, I'm not going to answer a question about scheme. And all the rest of us on the outside understood that was a personnel question. He didn't ask a thing about scheme, but it tells us
how he views it.
Exactly. That to him, it's one and the same. Because if he gives you any inkling as to who the quarterback might be, then all of a sudden the plays in his head swap out, like the slide machine changes, the projector changes, and there's all new stuff in there, and that's how he sees it.
Yes.
It's not how I see it.
No.
Well, then that's what makes this week so critical, not only to the season, but it's a big ask to expect Matt Nagy to change the way that he views football, to reprogram himself for a quarterback who's making his first start. That's why I maintain this is a bigger week for Matt Nagy than it is for Justin Fields, but I don't have high expectations.
Even the great Sean Payton adjusted to his talent on the field when his talent couldn't do the things that he was asking him to do anymore. And it worked. And you know why we know it worked? Because they sure had no problem with the Bears in the playoffs. And that was a successful season for them. But all the great offensive minds adjust to what they have in front of them. And if you are inflexible, then you're not a good supervisor. That's the number one job of a head coach.
It was apparently a successful season for the Bears, because they got to the playoffs and everybody was returned. And
they had the 6-game losing streak.
MVP.
The 6-game losing streak was an example of how great the character of the team is.
Okay, though.
Didn't we hear that?
All sarcasm aside, it was a successful year for the Bears if you're the head coach of the Bears. It wasn't a successful year for the Bears if you're the play caller for the Bears. Okay, that's the problem. Because if you're just the head coach, you look at last season as a success. And he does. But it's the same guy. So you can't really, it's hard to separate the two, and you have to separate the two, I think, to be successful as a staff. That's the problem right now. So
this is an exaggeration, but I can't help but think to ask, is Matt Nagy afraid of Justin Fields? You know what I mean? Like, is he afraid that this is what exposes the lie of the scheme? Is he worried that this guy's going to get out there and just Neo at the end of the Matrix?
Yeah, no, but I think he views the world through the Olin said this. He views the world as a pocket passer. He looks at everything through that viewpoint. He doesn't look at it like this guy's this great quarterback that can do different things and will change different things. He views it strictly, and you know, frankly, a lot of those guys probably view it the same way. There isn't a lot, you know, Mark Helfrich isn't there. There isn't a ton of kind of wide open, college-minded type of offense. It is more about viewing things from the pocket. And I don't think that's the way to view this quarterback.
I think of two things. Number one, don't you all remember that quote he had saying, well, it takes 3 or 4 years to get this offense?
Right, without having the offensive players that have been there 3 or 4 years.
That was damning. And frankly, in the NFL, where we joke it stands for not for long, unrealistic. Number two, I was told in our lovely journalism school that this is a trade. The only way you get better is by actually practicing, learning, and doing the job. And how that applies in this is that I think that for some reason, he's trying to make this quarterback job academic, where you need to know everything before you actually go out there and play. And this is just not realistic in the timelines that the NFL gives you in general. It's not realistic with the timelines you have with the construction of the roster. And I feel like he's trying to make this an academic exercise somehow, where he's got to have all this knowledge behind him and pass all these tests when the real test is on the field.
Yeah, interesting. I don't think he fears them. I would think that any football coach who does this for a living and has done it as long as he has, you would welcome any player like
right.
that. Because you've got to embrace the possibility of that talent with your brain and figure out a way to make it work, because
but your job is to make it easier and he's making it harder.
But he doesn't see it that way. See, he thinks right. that he's making it easier. We look at our opinion, and I can cite chapter and verse, and 3rd and 7 with 3:50 to go. That's the number one example most recently. But he doesn't look at it that way. He looks at it as, I am going to make Justin Fields, this generational athlete, a Pro Bowl quarterback, because his body and my brain yes. is a great combination.
Yeah, that's a really weird way of looking at it, but it's like Master Blaster. He sees them together. I'm just going to get on this guy's shoulders because I'm the.
You got it.
Master Blaster runs Botta Town.
What have you done?
That movie sucks.
Oh, that was hysterical.
It's so bad. Two men enter, one man leave. It's so bad. Oh, my.
When's the last time you heard a Master Blaster?
I don't know, but I'm really intrigued and now bummed that transition is over, frankly.
That is phenomenal. We got a Master Blaster
reference. Didn't see that one coming.
To the internet.
Dude. Day made. We have Craig Calcaterra with his weekly baseball hit. And, Tim, we're going to get into some of the White Sox mess at 10:20. Midday, midway's back. Sage Rosenfels is really good talking about Nagy and systems and quarterbacks and what works and what doesn't. And I know he has strong thoughts at 11. Paul Charchian has fantasy advice on the waiver wire and all sorts of other fun.
Have a good show.
Great, guys.
Thank you very much.